a moment, we're going to look to God's Word, and we're going to look to a passage of the vine and the branches, God's pruning process in our lives. But not only is that in our lives, we see pruning happening all the time. Now, if you've been to my house, you'll know that I've got a pear tree in my backyard that has some branches that bear fruit, others don't. And I got some tools. And I'm not allowed to use the tools because I'll probably get hurt. And I got this saw, I got this electric saw, I guess you could call it. I got this pole that you can pull down and you put on the branch and it cuts branch. But this is the only tool that I'm allowed to use because I'm less likely to get hurt using this tool. In fact, it's so bad when I look at the pruning process at our house, my neighbor actually came and did the pruning of my pear tree for me because I'm just not allowed to tools. But that pruning for that tree is vital for next year's growth. And the passage that we're going to read this morning, and I probably shouldn't play that, is God's pruning process for our lives so that our lives give a clear and a radiant picture of what God wants to do in our lives. So I'm going to read to you from the New Testament, from the book of John. I'm going to read to you the first 8 verses where we read these words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No one can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, so that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. A young boy went over one day to his pastor's house. His pastor loved to work in his garage and do carpentry work. And so the boy was watching and watching, and the clock went by moment, hour by hour. And then finally the pastor said to the young boy, "Do you really want to see how this is done?" To which the young boy said, "No, Pastor, I just want to see what happens when you hit your thumb with the hammer." It is said that what comes out in the life is often bore out in our heart in the words that we begin to speak. Now, I think it's going to make sense as we walk through the message this morning. Because our lives are really a picture of what's really stirring up within our hearts. Now, if we are called to bear fruit, as our passage says, to give witness to the grace that you and I have experienced in Christ, what fruit most evidently will we see? The first place most people take us to is to the fruit of the Spirit, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." As followers of Jesus Christ, I think the place you and I begin this morning is to ask ourselves, is our life bearing fruit? That is, because of the grace that you and I have experienced in Christ Jesus, is there a visible outward sign of what Christ has done in our heart? We call that fruit. Or is the opposite true? Instead of love, are our lives marked by hatred? Instead of joy, are we more negative? Instead of peace, are our lives marked by turmoil? Instead of being short-tempered or gentle, are we short-tempered? Instead of faith, do we live lives that are filled with worry? Instead of meekness, is there arrogance and pride in our lives? Because here's the interesting thing. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that is, If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you've confessed your sin, you've said, God, I can't live life on my own. I need you to be my Savior. And God, by the Holy Spirit, convicts us of the truth of the gospel. We respond in faith, and we enter into the kingdom of God. We become a follower of Jesus Christ. There needs to be an outward expression of that faith because of what God has birthed and God has brought about in our life. And so the question is, what is that fruit in our lives? And our text says it is fruit that points to the glory of God. So what fruit is evident in your life this morning? What evidence of grace is there? The text says it this way. My disciples will produce much fruit that brings glory to the Father. So it seems to me that when I understand the text, that we need to move from belief to change. John says it this way. By their fruits, you will know them. I want you to turn your eye to the screen for a second and watch the video that will appear. At what it means to live out that faith in Christ. And so we really need to ask ourselves, if we are to bear fruit or there is a change in our life, how does it start? We need to begin with what we know to be true, what we believe. We would all affirm, I suspect, that we are saved by grace and grace alone. That is, we are saved because of Christ's finished work on the cross, that we can do nothing to merit or to earn our salvation. I suspect we would agree that we would affirm that the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds to the truth of the gospel, that God convicts of the truth, and we respond in faith to His calling and His prompting, that it begins with God and it ends with God. And if God is doing all the work, as you follow in our text, it says that we simply need to remain in Him and we will bear fruit. So what evidence is there of this working of God in our deliverance and of our sanctification, that process of becoming like Christ, that is visibly outward, that gives testimony to the fact of what God is doing? Well, I believe there are some very clear signs that take place in our life. Let me give you a few practical examples. We're going to talk about a guy named Tom, who I shared with you a while ago. Tom was a guy who was journeying with faith, and he was rejecting the gospel. He was rejecting the gospel, and yet he wanted to know more. And yet he just couldn't accept it. And then one day, he wasn't even aware it happened, but he finally came to realize, you know what, he actually believed what the Bible says. And something began to happen in his life. And over the next number of months, Tom began to change. And one day he went into work and they said, Tom, there's something different about you. And he goes, no, I'm still Tom. And he said, no, there's something different. And he said, you know what it is? You don't swear anymore, Tom. The light went on for Tom. He began to realize what God had been doing in him, and his life began to bear fruit. He began to turn away from an old lifestyle. And he began to walk in light of a new lifestyle. And then he went back to his pastor and he says, you know what? I think I see the signs. I think I see the fruit. I want to accept Jesus. Think of a young lady who I know, who I had the opportunity to share the gospel with. I wasn't the person that led her to faith, but I was a person along her journey. And over a number of months, she began to wrestle with the faith. Different people intersected in her life. In fact, the gospel we sing became so clear and so real to her. The outward sign for her became that she walked away from a lifestyle that she was living in She placed herself in a community that could encourage her in the faith, and she went so far that she actually legally changed her name to signify her new beginning. I think of our lives and the story of the gospel playing out in the area of contentment, in the area of peace. I think back to how we began with the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But remember, it is how you and I can begin to have that life, how you and I can begin to reflect this life that God so desires for our life. He says this, actually, I am the true vine. Notice he doesn't say, I'm like a vine. He didn't say, I'm the vine. No, he says, I am the true vine. I am the one, I am the only, I am the absolute source of everything you need to experience the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love and the working of God in your life. This ability to produce the fruit of righteousness and holiness, I and I alone can take care of. Now remember, the hearers understood it. In the book, Understanding the Torah, there is an article about this passage, and it says, you need to picture the Israelite people understanding the image of the vine. The image of the vine was central to their identity and to their prosperity. They say that in the temple there was this vine, and it was made of gold in the temple, and it was about 90 feet high. So when he spoke to them of the vine, they understood it. It was a picture for Israel, whom God planted, whom God brought into being for his own pleasure, for his own delight. But if you remember the story of the Old Testament, Israel was never as faithful and as fruitful as God hoped they would be. They fell into other gods. They disobeyed his commands. They rejected God, and they tried to do it on their own. And so Jesus saying, I am the true vine, is scandalous at its very nature. But where the people of Israel failed to succeed to produce fruit, Jesus succeeded. Where the people of Israel fell short of the glory and the righteousness of God, Jesus succeeded. Where the people of Israel couldn't keep it all together, Jesus succeeded. And then he says this, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We are the branches. He says that, doesn't he? In verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He makes it clear that there's two different kinds of branches. There's fruitful branches and there's unfruitful branches. The unfruitful branches are cut off, they're thrown away, and they're burnt. The branches are a picture of you and I. Are we branches that bear fruit or don't bear fruit? How can you be sure which one you are? Well, he tells us, if you drop down in the text, he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that which bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they're burned. See, God has made you and I for his enjoyment. He created you and I to enjoy him and to enjoy him forever. God has made you and I to bear fruit, to be visible, outward expressions of his grace and of his mercy and his love. God has made you and I for a special purpose. God has put you exactly where he has put you to bring glory to Jesus and that others may see him. God has put you where you are that you may bring glory to the Father. I can only do that when I'm connected to the vine. But he says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Now, what is this fruit that God wants you and I to bear? Well, I can't list everything that Scripture says, so let me give you 10 things that I believe very clearly reflect what God wants us to share as we move from what we believe to how we outwardly live what God says and God is doing in our lives. So what's some fruit that is evidenced for our lives? I believe one thing that we can do is you and I can live a thankful life. I believe a thankful life is a sign of a redeemed life. Thankful for what God has done in His grace and His mercy. For the fact we can be thankful that God is faithful to His word. Or as Paul says, be faithful in all things or in all circumstances. That you and I can learn to be thankful because we have a God who is faithful. I believe another thing He can say practically for your life is if you want to bear fruit, you and I can live a life of character. Go right away back to how we began with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The very essence of who we are gives witness to the working of Christ in our lives. Another fruit is a life that desires and longs to share the story of grace, to share your faith. We also have it, where we're called to live a godly life. I think back to what God does in our lives, where he's died for us. He kindles true faith in our life, and we respond, and the change is a different life, right? We no longer want to live according to the former ways, but we want to live accordingly to God's desire, God's working, the things that God desires for our life. And so he says this, if you want to live a godly life, there's some things that you can get rid of. So he says this, put off sexual immorality, impure, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. See, a very clear sign of fruit being born in our life is a change in how we live. He also says, if you want to live this life, it can be a life of generosity. Now, you may say, you know what, Doug, there are a lot of people who are generous that aren't followers of Christ. And you're right. But what I'm talking about here is a sign of a marked life is where we give generously for the eternal well-being of others. Another sign or a fruit of God working in our lives is using our gifts and our talents and our abilities, again, for the eternal well-being of others. Another sign is to love our neighbor and to love the world as God loves the world. To see the world, to see our neighbors as God sees them, and to relentlessly love them and to pursue them. But it also, I believe, means that we practice forgiveness. Because when we begin to understand the story of our sin, of our need for redemption, and what it took for our sin to be forgiven, I believe a response for us is to be people who have been forgiven immensely. That forgiveness is something we are willing to do. I believe another fruit is a life of worship. A life that says, I'm going to declare your worth, your praise in every aspect of my life. But for me, the hardest thing this week when I was reading was giving a life of surrender. Where I simply said, you know what? When I respond to the good news of the gospel of grace, when I witness God's ongoing work in my life and day by day, moment by moment, I'm becoming more like Jesus, to lay my life in God's hand and not to take it back, to not to want to be in control, but to simply say, God, you need to show me what I need to do. Help me to release my grip on wanting to have it about me and my power and my desire to control. And I believe when I begin to do that, I begin to bear more fruit. And then he says this. He says, abide in me. We don't use that word very often, do we? But it means to remain rooted in, to dwell, to stay a part of, to be a connected to find your rest and your solace and your understanding in. And here's what I love, and I hope you get it as we read the text and we're walking through it. It simply says, stay connected to the source of life. of your salvation, of your redemption, of the very fabric of your life. Stay connected, and you will bear fruit. God does that work in our lives as we surrender ourselves to Him, as we're obedient to Him, as we trust in Him, as we read and we follow His Word. God does that work of bringing fruit to life in our being. Now, I can already hear some of you saying, you know what? There's a lot of people who do a lot of things apart from the vine. And you're right. You drove a car here. You don't need to be saved to drive a car. You could go on vacation. You could build a business. You could run for political office. But what he's saying here is if you and I want to live and grow in holiness and godliness and be a picture of grace and of hope and of life, it can only be found in Jesus. He alone can give you the very fabric of what you need to live and move and have your being. He simply says, stay connected to the vine and you'll bear fruit. But before we get to how God does that in our lives, sometimes things get in the way and we don't begin to bear fruit. Turn your eyes to the screen again. My life needs to be pruned. My backyard, my pear tree is looking pretty good. It's looking hacked up right now. It's looking battered. In fact, my neighbor was so nice to help me, but he left all the branches for me to clean up. But it reminded me of how much work went into that tree. Now, the branches that were wild got tipped away. The branches that were small and just beginning were tipped away. But it wasn't to hurt the tree, it was to give the tree life. That the branches that did bear fruit could bear more fruit. The branches that were just starting off also got pruned so that they could become stronger and more vital and eventually bear a whole bunch of great pears. And I believe that's what God does in our lives, day by day, moment by moment. I think of a businessman who... it was all about him. And his decisions were the right decisions. In fact, they were the only decisions. And his opinion really was the only opinion that really mattered. So God began to prune away at his life until he began to see things in a whole new light. Think of the story where we say, you know what? I can do it, God. And I can do it on my own. And then God begins to prune us where we realize how much easier it is when we surrender to God and His will and His plan. I think to Sally and her kids, they had never heard it before. They had never been validated. But they began to come into a church, and for the very first time, they began to hear the story of how they were valued and loved. And God began to prune away the lies and the things that they began to believe that weren't true. Begin to think of our anger and maybe our dishonesty, that God begins to prune away until it's no longer there. But I also think about those things that are good and wonderful, that God begins to prune away so that they might be more fruitful, that they may be more productive, that they may be of more value. Have you ever noticed? I can just imagine how much this must hurt a tree, but how much it hurts when God does that in our own life. But God's doing it so that you and I might be fruitful. That you and I might be more and more a beautiful expression of His grace, of His love, of His mercy. That you and I would be beautiful expressions of what He's doing in our lives. And so that day in and day out, our lives would give glory and witness to the grace, to the hope, to the victory that we have in Jesus. And although it may hurt, have you ever noticed in your own life, I have in mine, that after I've walked through that pruning, man, it feels good. It looks beautiful. And day by day, I know in my own life, I'm becoming a more and a more beautiful expression of grace and action in And the same is true for you. So God says to you, to me this morning, remain in me and you will bear fruit. But I believe it comes to the place where you and I say this morning, God, I surrender. And I surrender my life to you. I surrender my decisions to you. I surrender my will to you. And I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to rest in you. And as I discover that will, I'm going to open your word. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to let your word indwell in me. I'm going to spend time in prayer so that I know as we're talking that what I'm doing, how I'm responding is of you. And it's your will and your plan. I'm going to memorize your word so that when I face those trials, the circumstances, the pruning in my life might be that expression of grace. I love how Adam Eisling writes it. He says this. Lord, remove the dead wood, the bad habits, the poor influences. Remove the wild branches. When I have overextended and don't rely on you, prune me so that I am more balanced, that weak areas might become strong. Prune my strength so that I might grow new and green shoots. I know it's going to hurt, but I want to bear fruit. Here's the good news this morning. Abide in Christ. Remain rooted. Remain connected to the source of all life. Allow Him to be the very center, the fabric of your life. And you will bear fruit. You will become that beautiful, radiant picture of the story of grace that our world so desperately needs to hear. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your amazing grace. But Lord, I know how easy it is to know what we believe and still want to rely on myself. Lord, we want to be that beautiful expression of you so that our lives give glory to the Father. And Lord, you tell us in your word that if we abide or we stay connected to you, our lives will bear fruit. Draw us this morning closer and closer to you. May we find the very essence of who we are in the true vine. And that, Lord, you would mark our lives by your grace. That others may come and seek and inquire of who you are. Lord, if there's pruning that needs to be done in our lives, Lord, would you do it? Would you do it so that our lives would produce fruit? Would you do it to draw our utter dependence upon the vine? And would you do it, Lord, so that our lives would be a picture of your story in action. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning that today we may bear a little bit more fruit than we did last night. And that tomorrow we'd bear a little bit more fruit than we did today by your leading and your working and your moving in our lives. Until the day that you call us to be with you. We thank you that together, as your church, we get to be that expression of grace. We thank you for being able to walk together. Lord, we thank you, as we heard from Dan and Trix this morning, for your working in Dan's life. Lord, we just pray that you would continue, Lord, to do a wonder within his body. That, Lord, as he continues his rehab, Lord, that there may be more and more fueling, that there may be more and more movement in his body, and that, Lord, ultimately you would totally and completely heal his body. Lord, we pray for that healing as well for Gail. Lord, we thank you for word this morning that there seems to be more expression and more awareness of what you're saying and what's going on in the last couple of days. Lord, we just pray that that would lead to even further success. That Lord, she'd be able to speak more and move more. And Lord, that she'd be able to breathe totally and completely on her own with her new set of lungs. Lord, would you continue to be with Ariel, Lord, as she suffers from a concussion, Lord, a number of weeks ago, and the effects of that. We pray that you would ultimately and totally heal her body. And Lord, we thank you that you not only hear those prayers, but Lord, that you are at work. And Lord, we just pray for John and Ina, Lord, with the passing of John's sister. Lord, we thank you that she is able to enjoy the riches of heaven. But Lord, also in celebrating the riches of heaven, Lord, we know that there's loss. And Lord, we just pray that you would comfort John and Ina and the family, Lord, as they not only mourn her loss, but Lord, celebrate her life. And Lord, we just pray that through all of that, there would be a clear pointing to the true source, to the true vine of life. Would you be near them and would you strengthen them, Lord, not only now, but in the coming days and months and weeks ahead, as they remember and continue to tell her story. Lord, as we think of the story of the world, Lord, we think of a story in a world so much in need of you. Lord, we want to think of the people in Paris. Lord, in that horrific terrorist attack. Lord, we just pray that even in the midst of this turmoil, your grace would shine through. We pray that you would work through the anger that will come forward and the fear. And that you would bring healing. And that, Lord, many may come to know of your grace and come to faith. We pray that your church would arise and be an agent of hope. An agent of victory. An agent, Lord, of forgiveness. And, Lord, to be able to speak profoundly because of your grace into this situation. And Lord, we think of our own stories this morning as well. And we just pray that our lives too, because of what you have done, would bear much fruit. Be honored, O God, in all we do. In your name we pray. Amen.